The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, author and speaker Jennifer Rothschild describes 66 ways God loves you.
But the love of God is not based on anything I do or how I feel. And in fact, if you really look at it, the love of God is not even a choice he makes. Like, he doesn't look at Tammy and say, I think I'll love her. Or Randy's worthy. Yeah, I'll choose to love Randy. God loves because his nature is love. He cannot help but love.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me.
Hello.
And Tammy, I'm excited because Jennifer Rothschild is back with us again. Jennifer,
I'm so happy to be back.
It's great to have you. And by the way, if you didn't see our other program with Jennifer, what a blessing. It's available at lifetoday.org, as are all of our programs. But today, we're going to talk about, it's going to be encouraging, I'll say that.
Yes.
We're going to talk about 66 ways that God loves you. And Jennifer, there's a lot of ways I could go with this, but I think my first reaction was only 66.
Yeah, that's a good point.
not 65, not 67, but 66 ways.
Well, obviously 66. I shouldn't say obviously. Not everybody knows this, but there are 66 books in the Bible.
Okay.
So what I have done, because I love the Word has given me life. I went through the Bible and I tried to pick out how God's love is uniquely communicated in every book of the Bible. Mm. And so that's why there are 66 ways that God loves you.
So good. It's so good. Tell me one of the greatest ways, if I were struggling to believe that God loves me, and I was talking to you. Mm-hmm. I ran into you and said, I have a hard time believing God loves me. What would you say to that?
Well, to believe God loves you, you do have to have humility and faith, I believe.
Okay.
Because sometimes we don't want to receive God's love because we think we have to earn it, which is really just inverted pride. Okay? But I also believe that God he gets kind of a bad rap.
Mm.
Most people feel like they are fiercely judged by God.
Mm-hmm.
Not fiercely, audaciously loved by him.
Absolutely.
And that's why I personally go back to the Word every time, because it's the Word that teaches me that God really loves me. I was only about 8 years old when I got my first Bible, and my grandmother gave it to me. We used to call her Sarah Berg. Her name was Sarah Richburg. And Sarah Berg gave me my first, I always called it my red leather Bible. It was red. It took me a decade to realize it wasn't real leather. So I got my first red non-leather Bible. But I remember as a little girl, even then, before I went to bed, I would read in the book of Psalms.
Mm.
And it was as if, like, almost if you held it close enough, you could feel the heartbeat of God toward how he loves us. Well, then you fast forward in my life, when I turned 15 and I lost my eyesight, I could no longer see the words in that Bible. And that really was a connection point for me, a way to experience and feel the love of God, like I was reading his love letter to me.
Right.
And I remember the loss of that, not being able to see those words anymore. Now, of course, today I listen to Scripture, and I'm so thankful for people who read Scripture to me so beautifully. I'm so thankful, because faith does come by hearing, and I'm so thankful I get to hear the Word read.
Yes.
But I still, even on my darkest days, I realize that I have experienced the love of God through his Word, not through my feelings. Because there's days I don't feel lovable, and there's days that I don't feel worthy of love. But the love of God is not based on anything I do or how I feel. And in fact, if you really look at it, the love of God is not even a choice he makes. Like, he doesn't look at Tammy and say, I think I'll love her. Or Randy's worthy. Yeah, I'll choose to love Randy. God loves because his nature is love. He cannot help but love.
Wow.
And so when we really know that about God, which we learn through his Word, then it becomes easier for us to reduce our performance level and just receive that gift Because God is love.
Yes.
He does love, and therefore I am loved.
Okay,
wow,
okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna challenge. I'm gonna give you the hardball question here. I get that in Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, like Leviticus?
Right? Yeah, if you've ever read the book of Leviticus, you're like, God loves me in Leviticus?
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
Okay.
Leviticus is full of a ton of rules. And sometimes we think rules are given to us just to manipulate us or make us behave. I believe that the book of Leviticus reveals God's love because out of the kindness and benevolence of Him as our Father, and especially pre-covenant days to the nation of Israel, He says, I want you to connect with me. I'm holy and perfect. You're not. So I've set up some rules so that you will have security and you will know how we can connect well. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries are love.
Yes,
they are not to manipulate us or to constrain us. And in fact, in Psalms, Scripture says that the Lord has put boundaries in our life in pleasant places. It is a kind and loving Father who communicates, here's the rules that will bring you life.
Wow.
And because I love you, I'm instituting them for you so that you can come to me.
Amen.
And we can have intimate connection.
Okay, that's good. Side note, did you notice that some of the health laws even
totally
make sense with today's science? And
they had
no clue back then. It's like God was like, let me fast forward you. I made all this. Do this, don't do this, and you'll live
and
long
you'll be
and
safe.
Healthy.
Yes. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Jen, what are some common misconceptions about God's love?
Well, I kind of alluded to it a minute ago.
Yes.
We think we have to earn it.
Right.
Or some of us, and I have fallen into this, being a firstborn, loving Jesus my whole life, being a pastor's daughter.
Yeah.
Some of us fall into a performance mentality.
Yeah.
Well, I know God loves me. Okay, I get that. But I don't know if He really likes me unless
I
perform well.
Right.
So I'm going to perform well so that He likes me. And I think it's a misconception that God's love for us has anything to do with our performance. It has everything to do with His provision through Christ. And I think one of the misconceptions we have about God's love is we think it has to be one extreme or the other. Like, if you love me, then it'll always be about grace, grace alone. No, nothing but grace. And if you're just going to throw truth at me, which I might misunderstand as judgment, then I'm not going to see that as love. But if you look at the embodiment of love, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Apostle John said that Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. That was not 50% grace. That was not 50% truth.
Right.
That was 100% grace, 100% truth. That's the love of God. And so I think when we take one extreme and isolate it from the other, then we misunderstand the love of God. His love is full of grace. His love is full of truth because He is 100% grace. He is 100% truth.
Amen.
So what do you do? I mean, you said in the last program, you have a crush on the minor prophets, right?
Yeah, I have a crush on them.
That's awesome.
But how do you reconcile the feeling that if I mess up, destruction's coming, because a lot of the Old Testament prophets read very much that way.
Yeah.
Of because you did this, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And God even said, I'm going to do it, or at least I'm going to allow it.
Yeah.
It's hard to get around that sometimes.
It is hard to get around that. And you know what? Jesus couldn't get around that on our behalf. And to me, that's the picture of love. The holiness of God has standards that you and I, just like all those people in the Old Testament, they just couldn't meet within our own abilities and flesh. And because of the love of God, He sent Jesus so that we wouldn't have to fix all our stuff and please Him. Jesus took upon Himself all the result of everything we've ever done that has blown it, and Jesus took the punishment for us. And so the holy God, who has a standard of perfection that we can't meet, chose that Jesus would take the punishment for us. So all that wrath of God got laid on Jesus. So we don't experience it. To me, that is the embodiment of the love of God.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I've always known that. But I may have just connected a couple of dots that I've not connected before, because you still hear preachers today who will preach the judgment that you're saying Christ took.
Christ took our judgment. God didn't change his standard.
Is that a misapplication of the old?
I personally believe that God's standard has never changed.
Okay.
And no human could ever meet it. Only God, who created the standard, could fulfill the standard. Okay. And that's why Jesus died. He received the wrath of God. He met the standard of perfection, and then he took our sin upon himself, and he received the wrath of God for our sin.
Oh, wow.
That's the love of God.
Absolutely.
So to me, what a beautiful picture. And that's why I said earlier, when you asked about receiving God's love, we have to have the humility to say, I don't deserve it. I'll never deserve it. And it's not even about me. So if I'm going to receive the love of God, that's the way I'm going to honor God. By saying, you are worthy.
Yes, you are.
That's so right. I think if we get this right, in the sense of understanding it truly and properly, it wouldn't force change on us. It would just create change in us.
And it invites the response of change.
What do you mean by that?
Because when I know that my husband loves me, do you know how that changes my behavior? If I feel like my husband is judgmental toward me, or waiting for me to act to a certain standard before he will show me affection, I will never cease to try. I'll strive for it, or maybe then I'll just get tired of it.
Give up.
And give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when I know that I am unconditionally loved by him, then I'm free to just respond in a way that I know is going to please him, because I feel safe to fail. I feel safe to succeed.
Yes.
And God is that way for us. And we also have, we can never separate God's response toward us. We cannot take it in isolation out of being covered by the righteousness of Christ. So God's response to us ultimately when we are in Christ is based upon his response to his son. And from what I read in Romans, neither death nor life, there is nothing that separates us from the love of God. Because when we are in Christ and Christ in us, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, because the love of God is in us and upon us.
Honestly, I listen to you and I feel overwhelmed, because you're so smart and you're so wise. It's like, has it always been in you to love the Word this much and to be a teacher of the Word?
Well, you know, I have always loved the Word.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, it's because I need the Word.
Yes.
I'm not that smart.
Yes.
And I also know me really well. And I know what I can be like outside the protective comfort and guidelines of God's Word.
Yeah.
I'm not a legalist. I just know God loves me, and he chose what's best for me. And when I read his Word, I find strength.
Yes.
When I read his Word, I find identity.
Yes.
When I read his Word, I find purpose. And I also find, honestly, in every book of the Bible, how fiercely God loves us.
Oh, my God. You choose to stay in it because you know what you're capable of outside of it.
Outside of it. Yeah.
So that's what I love. And I think it challenges me to stay in it, to stay wrapped in it every day, because I think our thinking changes, our reactions change, the way we love other people changes when we are in it with Jesus, wrapped around it, thinking his thoughts, having the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ. It changes our atmosphere constantly every day as we go about our day. So you challenge me all the time to stay in it. I notice I'm a different person when I'm out of it. But Jen, I love you for teaching me how to stay in it and to understand the love of God in my own life.
I do have a question, maybe a tough question.
I like Tammy's questions better, by the way.
I know.
You keep throwing the hard ones at me.
So this one, I say difficult not because it's theologically challenging.
Yeah.
It's just something a lot of us face. And I know people see you and you look great. You speak very well. You have a lot of knowledge, but life hasn't always been easy.
No.
And they don't, you know, you wouldn't just pick up on this in our interview that you have experienced some difficult suffering. And yet you say that in 1 Peter God shows his love to us through victory and suffering. Now, I like the victory part. I don't like the suffering.
No, neither do I.
How does that work?
Well, sometimes we think faith in Christ will prevent suffering in our life.
Right.
And it doesn't.
Right.
Sometimes it can even invite it. I mean, let's be honest. But I do believe that God gives us something within the suffering he allows, and that is victory. I mean, he invites us, like in 1 Peter, this is how we know he loves us in 1 Peter. He invites us to cast our cares upon him. And that doesn't mean like we drop them off. It means like we throw them. Mm-hmm. We cast them.
Yes.
Why is that? Because he cares for us. But then he also tells us, like a loving father in 1 Peter 4:12, don't be surprised about these fiery trials that are going to try you as if some strange thing has happened. But instead, rejoice, because inasmuch as you partake in the sufferings of Christ, you will also experience the overwhelming joy when his glory is revealed. Mm. And you know, sometimes, y'all, we think when his glory is revealed in the sweet by and by,
right,
when we say goodbye to planet Earth and blindness and cancer,
yes,
and suffering,
amen,
and loss. No, I believe the way God gives us victory over suffering right now in the midst of it,
yeah,
is that he reveals his glory in the midst of it.
Amen.
And we get to be grounded by,
amen,
a far greater weight of glory. I mean, the suffering's heavy. Absolutely,
right,
it is.
Yes.
Blindness is the hardest thing I deal with, even on my best days. But I'm telling you this, it will never be as heavy as that far greater weight of glory that anchors me, that sustains me. That's the victory. The victory is not deliverance from the suffering. Victory is deliverance with joy through the suffering every single hard day.
Wow. Somebody needed to hear that.
Yeah, I needed to hear that.
Was it
it was probably me. It was probably me. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of people. Yeah.
All right. I really love the 66 ways God loves you and just the structure of it. Do you have a favorite one?
Well, you know, I do have the crush on the minor prophets.
Oh, here we go.
So I got to say one more. Hosea. I just don't think there's a better picture of the love of God than in the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. So Hosea was a prophet, and God told him to marry a woman who some call a prostitute, but she definitely, you know, was not probably every mama's dream for her little boy. And Hosea married her, and she was unfaithful, and it broke his heart. And when he could have just said, hey, I have legit reasons to say, see ya, you blew it. You're not worthy of my love. God said, you go bring her back. And Hosea brought her back. Her name was Gomer. And he said, I will remain faithful to you and you will remain faithful to me. That's the love of God. When we wander away, when we're wayward, when we choose other gods, he still pursues us. And he is never unfaithful because we are unfaithful. He is always faithful.
Yes.
And no matter how we have walked away, he always brings us back home and restores
Thank
us
you,
to
Jesus.
His heart.
Yes.
That's the love of God right there in the book of Hosea.
I'm going to have to go read that again.
Yeah.
And I knew that, but yeah, you're right. It's a beautiful picture. And,
it
you
is.
Know, God's love does change us when we get it, because not only does it benefit us, but we want to then share it with others. And we have an opportunity right now to share God's love with others. And Tammy, you were there.
I was there. And it, you know, it's funny. Every time I go on a trip, you always think, you step into it thinking, you know, it's going to change the lives of someone else, but it always changes my life too. Every single time, the impact is enormous for me. And it changes my life. And the fact that we get to partner together to help change somebody else's life, it's incredibly important. And if you'll take just a moment, I want to share this piece with you.
When you lose someone you love unexpectedly, it can feel like your whole world is falling apart. It's almost too much to bear. If you know my story, you know I lost my husband in 2001 to a tragic scuba diving accident. I'd give just about anything to go back in time and stop that from happening. And while I know God has never abandoned me, I've learned some memories stay with you for the rest of your life. Recently in East Africa, I got to visit people with some very fresh memories, people who lost loved ones of their own. And in a way, I feel connected to them. My husband died in the water, and her husband died because of water and the lack of good, clean water. Because the water they need to drink every day in order to live, well, it's killing them. Water that looks like this and this. Water that looks like this. These precious people don't have a choice in the water they drink. Right now, it's this or it's nothing. But you and I have a choice, a life and death choice. Not life and death for us, but for them. So will you please choose to partner with Life Outreach today? Will you help give water for life? So that we can give them water like this. Yes! It's so special. It's so special every time I get the opportunity to take a trip. It's something that I look forward to. It's so special. And I think the feeling, Randy, that I have every time I land someplace is, how can I serve these people? How can I love them with everything that's in me? You know, I didn't get to have children. That was something that Trent and I didn't get to experience together. So I think I find it to be such a gift each time I go into these villages. And I think you'll see moments of me playing with the children. You know, we play, we giggle, we laugh. And then my heart also feels so moved in those moments, thinking that the hardship they're facing, many of these children don't even fully understand what's going on around them. And when I walk around their villages and they lead me to their water sources, and I watch them drink, even in that moment, some of the most vile water I've ever seen. And there's feces in it. There's animals drinking from it. And this is their only water source. Honestly, at times I can't even wrap my head around it, thinking there's got to be something else. There's got to be another way. And how can God use me in this moment to help this village, to help these children, especially who are so vulnerable, especially under five? They're so vulnerable, and so many die from just simply drinking the only water that they have access to. It's always my privilege to tell their stories and to come back here and to put that piece together so that you can see what I have seen and what I have experienced over there, that this is a real problem, but there is a real need. So yes, pain is real, but so is hope. Mm-hmm. So what do we do about that? We join together. I tell you the need. I tell you what it's going to take. And then we step in and we change everything for that entire village for the rest of their lives. Why? By just drilling a well and giving them clean water for the rest of their lives. That's how simple the solution is to that problem.
And, you know, the difference between clean water and contaminated water is life,
yes,
and death.
Right.
But you know the difference between the option of having to drink that water or not having to drink that water? The difference is you. Mm. We can't do this without our viewers' support. And that's why over two decades now, we've drilled over 7,000 wells in numerous nations around the world in the most needy areas. And our goal this year is to drill another 350 water wells in 20 nations, those places where, like, you know, the children you saw Tammy with, they very likely will become ill, and in many cases they will die without clean drinking water. Mm-hmm. But we can step in and stop that cycle of death. Mm-hmm. The average cost for a well is $4,800. That's when it's averaged across all the different places we work, the different machinery required to drill to different levels. There's a lot of variables. When we average it out, $4,800, which is why we say your gift today of $4,800 will provide one well for life, because on average they last about 70 years. Hmm. Now, not all of us can do that, but there's something you can do. We're asking you to do it today. A gift of $48 will provide clean drinking water for life for 10 people. A gift of $144 will provide water for 30 people. Will you do something today? Will you say, I will be the difference between death and life for somebody? Go to the phone or go online. Join with us. Give the best gift you can. Let's give life today.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease. And nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you The Birthright. This book is a liberating and life-changing celebration of your birthright as a child of the King. Discover the joy of coming home to your Father's warm embrace. With your gift of $100 or more, we'll also send you the Moments with Him mug set. These two beautifully crafted coffee mugs feature scripture on the side, the perfect way to start your day and reflect on the goodness of God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone. Make the best gift you can. You will save lives. And Jennifer, this is not just a great book content-wise. It's a beautiful book. I would love to send this book to anyone that requests it today that helps with our outreach. Would that be good?
I think that's a beautiful idea. You're giving the love and spreading the love.
Love it.
Yes. We love you, Jennifer. I love you personally.
I love you guys too.
Thank you. Being involved in all that God is doing in your life, even just a little bit on a small scale. And I love this book. Thank you so much for being here. What a privilege it is to talk to you. And I love that you love the word so much. Thank you so much for watching. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Are you concerned about keeping your family well-equipped to manage your resources when you pass away and leaving a lasting legacy? Contact Life Planning Services today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.